This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, we want to get close to finishing this Mishnah already. The Mishnah is, the part that we learned already, is called Sheiras Cheto, Kodemes LeChachmaso, Chachmaso Miskayemes. Whoever is Yiras Shamayim, fear of heaven, precedes his wisdom will be preserved, and the opposite, it won't be preserved. Now we're up to the last part of this Mishnah. Kol Shemaisov Merube Michachmaso, somebody whose deeds exceed his wisdom, so his wisdom also will be preserved, and somebody whose wisdom exceeds his deeds, the opposite, the wisdom will not be preserved. So there are many different explanations of what that means. His deeds exceed his wisdom. So some say what it means is the Ava Shalom says it means Ma'asav over here doesn't mean stam deeds, mitzvahs. Ma'asav, there's a Gemara that says the following, Godol ha-ma'aseh yoser min ha-oseh. When it comes to tzedakah, the one who makes other people give tzedakah is even greater than the person who himself gives tzedakah. There are many reasons for that. One reason is that going and convincing other people to give tzedakah takes time. To give tzedakah, you take money out of your pocket and you give it. And in the secular world, time is money. And in the Torah world, time is even more important than money. So somebody who gives of their time is even greater than somebody who just gives money. I'm not talking about somebody who doesn't give any money at all. He only wants other people to give. But he would give himself too, and he does give himself, but he also gets other people to give, or if he doesn't have what to give himself, at least he convinces other people to give. So we see from there the word ma'aseh doesn't necessarily mean to do. Ma'aseh means to make other people do. So therefore, I think the Ava Shalom would read the Mishnah, Kol ha-ma'as, shema'asav, godol mi-chachmaso, a person who teaches others, who influences others, right? So, and with his wisdom, so his wisdom will be preserved. Somebody who learns for himself and doesn't share his wisdom with others, his wisdom will not be preserved. This echoes the concept that learning is meant not to keep for yourself. It's meant to share with others. And the Sfarim say, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses a person with, wisdom, wealth, whatever it may be, he has a chiv to share it with others. Because it wasn't given just for his own sake. I think Reb Chaim Volozhiner's children write in the Hakadama, in the preface to Nefesh HaChaim, his major work, that their father always taught them they were not put in this world for themselves. They were put in this world to benefit other people. And in fact, the next Mishnah, which we are scheduled to learn at some point in the future, we will, Mirtz Hashem, get to it. The next Mishnah is understood by the grandfather of the Chidah, the, what's it called, what's the name of the Sefer? The Chesed Le'Avraham, who was the grandfather of the Chidah, he says that Mishnah means the following. We'll probably repeat it again when we get to that Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Sheruach HaBrios Nocha Himenu, which a simple meaning is, whoever people are happy with, right, so God is happy with him. And whoever people are not happy with, God's not happy with them. Which is a very difficult Mishnah. When we get to there, we'll see. Because it's not really the case. There are a lot of people that people like, but for the wrong reasons, and God does not like those people. I'm sure Al Capone had a lot of friends, but he wasn't necessarily beloved by God. So he says it means something else. Nocha can mean to benefit from. Whoever people benefit from, God likes that person. Somebody who doesn't benefit other people, God's not interested in such a person. Okay, so the main thing is, and there's an interesting Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden says that the Mishnah, another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, "Halomed al manasul lamed, maspikim biyad al lilmodul lamed." Person who learns in order to teach others, so God gives him the ability to learn and to teach. Halomed al manasul lasos. Person who learns in order to do, it's a simple meaning, is maspikim biyad al lilmodul lamed lishmor velasos. So he's given even more potential to learn, to teach, to observe, and to do. So first you have to understand, lassos over here doesn't mean that he's learning to fulfill the mitzvahs, because that's a given. We'll see, somebody who learns and doesn't fulfill what he's learning on purpose, not that he's not ready, he's on the way, which we'll get to, but he's not interested. He's learning just for mental gymnastics, but he's not interested at all in fulfilling what he learns. Better he shouldn't have been born. That's what the Chazal say. So you can't say the first person's learning to teach, but he doesn't want to do. That's impossible. So they explain there's four levels. There's lilmo, to learn for yourself. Lalame, to teach others. There's lishmor, to observe the Torah for yourself. And laasos, like we're saying, laasos doesn't mean to do. It means to make other people do. Okay, just like by tzedakah, making other people give. Ma'ase. Okay. So, in fact, there's another source where we have this idea that lasos means to make other people do. The following pasuk. The pasuk says, Or asher lo yakim es divrei ha-Torah hazos. Curses the person who won't fulfill this Torah. Lasos osa. So Chazal learned from there that a person who has the ability to make other people learn, make other people observe the Torah, he's held responsible for as much potential as he has. If he has a potential to influence one other person, he's responsible for one person. He has the ability to influence 10 people, he has the potential, he has the responsibility for 10 people, and so on. And if he does, he gets a bracha. Baruch Hashem Yochim Laasososa. So we see from all these places, the word laasos does not necessarily mean to do, but it's to make other people do. Just hit me now that would explain something that also is explained similarly, but now it makes more sense to me. It says that Asher bara Elokim laasos. Right? God finished creating laasos. So what it means is God created the world. But lasos, his intention is that other people should now continue and continue on that creation. We are the ones who complete the creation by perfecting what God created. So there also the word lasos means to make other people do. Okay, so therefore there's four levels. Lilmod means to learn for yourself. Lilamed means to teach others. Lishmor means to observe the Torah for yourself. Lasos means to make other people observe the Torah. So it goes without saying that if you're learning, you have to observe what you're doing. So that's not even mentioned. So what's mentioned is lilmod, which includes observing. Learn, you have to do what you're learning. But you want to go one step further, not only learn and observe, but also teach. So you're given the ability to do that. Somebody on a higher level, not only does he want to learn and observe, but he wants to teach, and not only teach, but influence other people to do what they're learning. So he gets the highest level. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, something here is being skipped over. What about the person who just wants to learn and observe? He doesn't want to teach anybody. He doesn't want to influence anybody. He wants to sit and learn and observe the Torah and finish. I don't really bother with other people. What does he get? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he gets absolutely nothing. Why? Because there's a Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara says, Halomed shelo amanas lelamed. A person who learns and does not have intention at all to teach. So his, what's it called? On him was said, Dvar Hashem Boza. He's insulting the words of the Torah, and the end of that sentence is he gets cut off from this world and the next world. So somebody who's insulting the Torah, even though he's learning and he's observing, but he's not teaching it to others, so for sure he doesn't get any help, because what he's doing is a terrible thing, because he's going to get cut off from this world and the next world. That doesn't mean that everybody has to be teachers. What it means is that if you learn something, you have to share it. You could share it with a neighbor, share it with your children, with your husband, with your wife, right? You shouldn't feel Torah is not a person's personal neches, it's personal property. It was every person has their share in Torah and therefore has to share it with others, right? The Torah was given ke'ish echad b'lev echad to 600,000 Jews, including women and children and, right, and people over 60, right? Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, wasn't given to individuals. And everybody has their portion in the Torah. And therefore, for the Torah to be complete, everybody has to share their portion with everybody else. Otherwise, the Torah is not complete. So that's what it means. And it doesn't only mean to share your Torah verbally. There's other ways of sharing Torah too, and teaching other people. And that, I think, is the meaning of the following medrash. The medrash said there are other meanings to this medrash. This is one of the ideas that I think is inherent in this. The medrash says like this: Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Limedcha haTorah derech eretz. Torah taught you derech eretz. Shekishiyasa mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, have you also sabalev sameach. When you do a mitzvah, you should do it with a happy heart." If Reuven would have known that the Torah was going to record that he tried to save Yosef from the other brothers, he would have picked him up on his shoulders and run home to his father with him. And if Aaron would have known that the Torah was going to record that the first time he saw Moshe Rabbeinu after Moshe was chosen to be the leader, the redeemer, that the Torah was going to record that he was happy in his heart, he would have come with a parade. And if Boaz would have known that the Megillah is going to record that he gave Ruth some parched wheat to eat, he would have given her a banquet, like Shlomo HaMelech. On the surface, a very difficult medrash, because it seems to imply that if these people knew they were going to get PR, they would have done the mitzvah differently, because they didn't know it was going to be publicized, so they did it the way they did it. But if they knew it would be publicized, they would have done it in a much more grandiose way, which is impossible to say. And therefore, there's another question here, and that is, where's the derech eretz? I understand doing a mitzvah with a happy heart is a positive thing, but where's derech? Derech eretz usually is between man and man. What does derech eretz have to do with doing a mitzvah with a happy heart? And thirdly, Aaron HaKohen had a happy heart. It says in the Torah, V'ro'acho v'samach b'libo. What would have added if you brought a parade? If you're supposed to do the mitzvah with a happy heart, that's what we learn. Aaron did it with a happy heart. So what would the parade have added? And therefore, I want to say the following, and it fits perfectly with what we're learning here. The idea is the following. The Rambam explains the word Derech Eretz has many meanings, but there really is one thread that connects them all, even though they seem to be completely different things. Derech Eretz, its more common usage, is Midos Tovos, good behavior, good character traits, is Derech Eretz, treating people with respect. Okay, that's Derech Eretz. But Derech Eretz can also mean husband-wife relationship. The laws of the relationship between a husband and wife, intimate relations, is called Hilchos Derech Eretz in the Shulchan Aruch. Derech Eretz can also mean an economy. Okay. So, what's the connection between these things? Says the Rambam, Derech Eretz means the way of the world, meaning anything that promotes a functioning society is Derech Eretz. It's the way to reach Eretz, to reach a functioning society. All of these things create the foundation of a functioning society. Husband-wife relationship create children, which create a society. If you don't have people, you can't have a society. Good midos, good behavior between people creates a functioning society. If people can't get along together, then there's chaos. There's not a functioning society. And if there's no economy, if people can't live, right, then there can't be a functioning society. So all these things are derech ha'aretz, they're the way to lead to a functioning society. All of them, therefore, fall under the umbrella of derech eretz. So derech eretz is there should be able to be a functioning society. When people do a mitzvah, so it comes to tell me that they should never think that they're doing something private between them and God alone. But Derech Eretz says, do it in such a way that you impress other people, not for your covet, because this way you are influencing them and inspiring them. You never know. And therefore it says the following. If Reuven would have known that the Torah was going to record what he did, he would have realized that what he did was not just a personal family thing between him and Yosef and the other brothers. This is something that every person who learns Sefer Bereishis is going to learn what happened. Every year we read in the Torah on Parshas Vayeshev what Reuven did. When you do a mitzvah for yourself, you do it to be Yotze, with good kavanah, whatever, but you don't have to do it in a demonstrative way. Okay, the example I always give is really an anachronism. But I am a creature of habit, and I just can't change the marshal. I've been giving this marshal for 50 years, and I'm going to give the same marshal. I didn't even bother thinking of another one. To some of you, this marshal may absolutely make no sense. When a woman wants a kosher chicken, okay, what does that mean? That used to be that people knew the chickens had heads and legs or whatever, right? And they used to bring them home and soak them and salt them, right, and wash them off and kosher them from the blood, okay? Today, everything is done industrially. You buy a chicken, it's already kashered, its legs are taken off, its head is taken off, and you never think that a chicken has a legs or a head. But used to be, people used to kasher meat in their house, right? Not so long ago. I remember my mother kashering meat, right? But this generation has no idea what that means. I'll tell you an interesting story. I had a couple that we married off. I was the Masada Kedushin by them. She was a Gioris that we were Megayer in Miami years and years ago. And we converted her and we married this couple. It's an interesting story behind it, not for now. In any case, after they got married, both of them knew very little. So they wanted to start off their marriage by learning. So they came to Eretz Yisrael for 6-7 months. Stayed around Or Sameach. He learned in Or Sameach, and she learned in Neve. And they were not, was a medical student, took off from his medical student studies for that half a year. And they were basically poor people. Neither of them had really any kind of a good job or whatever. And they spent a lot of their money to come here. And they were living on a very, very austere budget. So they didn't eat meat. They didn't go with the money to buy meat. Especially in those days in Eretz Israel, meat was very expensive. But his birthday came about, and she wanted to celebrate his birthday and buy some meat. They could have a nice meal. So she didn't know too much about Eretz Israel, but she knew that Meir Shorim, that's a frum place, and she probably could trust a butcher shop in Meir Shorim, buy go meat there. So she went to Meir Shorim. She walks into the butcher shop, and she says, I would like to, to buy a portion of meat. And the Chassidish butcher says to her, kosher or lo kosher? Hmm? She looks at the guy, and she says to herself, First of all, how does he know that I'm a Gioris and that maybe I'm a Goya and I want not kosher meat? And secondly, how does a guy in Meir Shorim run a butcher shop and sell not kosher meat? Now, what he meant was, do you want me to kosher it for you, or do you want to kosher it at home? Right? Didn't mean selling her pork. Right? But she had never heard of this idea of koshering. Who koshers? Either it's kosher or it's not kosher. Right? You have to kosher something. So in any case, in this generation, I doubt very much that there's anybody who knows that you have to kosher meat, salt and soak it. But I've been giving this marshal for 50 years, and when I gave it, it made sense. Okay. So a woman buys a chicken, and she koshers it. She soaks it and salts it or whatever and washes it off. Finished. She does it properly. She wants to teach her daughter how to kosher a chicken. She doesn't just do it perfunctorily. She does it in a very demonstrative way. See, here's the chicken. This is a thing of water. Now I'm putting the chicken into the water. She does it in a very demonstrative fashion. When you want to teach somebody, you want to impress them, you don't just do it. You emphasize it.
Reverend Yaffin, Chin Yaffin, Ella Hashalom. That was a 12th grade course in Central.
Okay, yeah, they used to teach it in Beish Yaakov, for sure.
Not Beish Yaakov,
yeah, okay.
Manhattan, Bar U.
Yeah, yeah, right. So in any case, that's what it means over here. If Reuven would have known that what he was doing was not just a personal action between a family incident, but this was going to be something that people would learn from for all generations, right? Every time you read this parsha, he would have done it in a way that was more demonstrative, because he's a teacher. He's no longer doing something personal. He's doing something that's going to teach people for all generations. Same thing with Aaron. If Aaron would have known the Torah is going to require that he saw his younger brother appointed to something that could have been his, and he wouldn't feel a grudge, but he'd be happy in his heart, and people are going to learn from that, he would have done it in a way that would make an impression. He did it with a happy heart. He did it with a happy heart for himself, but he didn't do it in a way that people saw the happy heart. That's what he'd bring a parade. People would have seen his happy heart. It would have made more of an impression, be more demonstrative. The same thing with Boaz. Boaz gave Ruth what she needed. But had he known that he's going to be a teacher, people are going to learn from this, he would have done it in a much more demonstrative way. He would have given her a banquet. So people, when they saw it, would learn more from it because it would be more demonstrative. And the Medrash ends, V'hayom Eliyahu Melech HaMashiach Kosvam. We think that Tanakh is finished. But it's not. It's being written more and more books in the heavens. And you don't know. Maybe you have a sentence. Maybe you have a whole book. Who knows? Right? And later on, right, you'll come and you'll say, wow, if I knew that what I'm doing now is going to be recorded for all history and people are going to learn from it, right, I would have done it differently. You can't say that. Reuven could. They didn't know this Medrash. But you know the Medrash. And I'll be there, and I'm going to say, I taught you the Medrash. So you can't use that as an excuse. So therefore, when a person does what's it called, a mitzvah, they should take in consideration that you never know who you are influencing. And even if you do it in a way that you think nobody knows, maybe it'll be publicized in those new Kisvei HaKodesh that Elio and Melech HaMashiach are writing and God is sealing. But just to illustrate, I'm not a good storyteller, but I remember this story fixes perfectly. There was a businessman who was not frum. And he started learning and became frum. When he was asked what inspired him to want to do tshuva, he didn't know, he didn't start going to classes, he wasn't Rachmana Lislan sick and recover. What gave him the incentive to want to all of a sudden learn about Yiddishkeit and become frum? It didn't seem like there was any. He said, I'll tell you what happened. He said, one day I was in my office up in Manhattan, and I see this yeshiva bacher, right? A guy in black and white, you know, with maybe with a payas coming down the street. He said, and in front of my office building, there's a newsstand, like there's all over Manhattan. And the newsstand doesn't just sell newspapers, it sells magazines too. And in the secular world, a good portion of those magazines are what's it called, magazines that are definitely not tzanua. Okay, very, pictures that, that this is a 17, 18-year-old boy. So he says, here's this religious kid. Let's see what happens when he passes the newsstand. What's it called? How religious he really is. He doesn't know anybody's watching him. Right? He's walking down the street. He sees this guy, sees the newsstand, closes his eyes, crosses the street, and walks with his head turned the other way. He said, a religion that can create discipline from an 18-year-old hot-blooded young man, that he on his own, not knowing anybody's watching, right, can have that kind of discipline, I want to know more about that religion. Mm-hmm. And that's, after 120 years, this bacher is going to go to Shemayim. I heard the story long ago, probably he's there already. And they're going to greet him. And they're going to tell him all the mitzvahs he did or whatever. And he said, also, to your credit, is all the mitzvahs that that businessman has done and the fact that he raised a family and sent them to yeshivas, it's all on your credit. The guy says, I'm sorry, but there's a mistake. I never met this, but I don't know who he is. He said, but he knows you. And tell him the story, right? So you never know when you're an inspiration to others, when you're a teacher. And again, it may be because somebody's watching, and it may be nobody's watching. But later on, they're going to publicize what you did, and other people will be impressed with it. So that's Derech Eretz. When you do a mitzvah, don't think only about yourself, but think about the impact it could have on other people, and do it in such a way that other people will be impressed, not with you, but with the mitzvah that you're doing. Okay, so that's another possibility of this idea of a person was what's it called, put in this world influence and to share his wisdom with others. And that's why the world is split into three 2,000-year epics, the Gemara says. The world is supposed to exist for 6,000 years, this world, and then is Yemos HaMashiach, or whatever, Olam Haba. So the first 2,000 are called Tohu Vavohu, where the world was basically not yet formed 100% society-wise. The next 2,000 years were the 2,000 years of Torah, and the last 2,000 years are the 2,000 years of Mashiach, where Mashiach could come, and whatever's gone, we missed out on. So you would expect that the 2,000 years of Torah started with the giving of the Torah, but it's not true. Torah was given 400 years after the year 2000, 2448. So when did it start? It started when Avraham Avinu, HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charon, when Avraham Avinu went out to influence people to believe in God, that's when the 400 years of the 2,000 years of Torah started. Why? Because L'chora, before that, if that's the case, it didn't start with the giving of the Torah. It started with people learning Torah. So Noach learned Torah. Adam Arisha learned Torah. Why didn't it start then? Because Torah is only Torah if it's Torah means Horah, it's taught. It's given over. And Avraham Avinu started this idea of sharing his Torah with others and going out and influencing others. That's when the 2,000 years of the Torah started. And therefore the Tzanzer Rav says that another mission in Pirkei Avos, which eventually we'll get to, im lamadet the Torah harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik tova la'atzmecha, simple meaning, don't take credit for it. Don't think you did a big thing. Kilakach, you were created to learn Torah. So you're not doing anything extra special. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And he said means something else. If you learned a lot of Torah, ain tov el Torah. Torah is synonymous with tov, with good. Al tachzik tov el, don't hold that good for yourself. You were created to share it with others. So don't hold that good of the Torah to yourself. Share it with others. I also was thinking, somebody told me that the Chassam Sofer says something similar to this. It says, V'yohavta re'acha kamocha, right? Om Rebbe Akiva zeklal godol batorah. So we normally translate that to mean that loving your neighbor is something that is a principle in Torah, great principle in Torah. But I think it means something else. That's the following. People normally understand, V'yohavta re'acha kamocha, whatever you want for yourself, you should want for somebody else too. If you buy a new car, you should want that somebody else should have a new car. You don't have to go buy him the car. They should be happy if he buys a new car too. You should want him to have the same things that you have. Be happy if he has what you have too. What you want for yourself, want for him. This comes along Rabbi Akiva and says that's not only by material things. Zeklal Gogol Batorah and Torah, the same thing. If you've reached a certain level of Torah, you should want other people to be able to reach that same level. If you've worked on your midos and have reached a certain level of character improvement, you should want that for somebody else too. Right? It's not only a klal gadol in gashmias; it's a klal gadol in Torah too. I was thinking that according to this concept, you could learn is the problem with Rabbi Akiva's students. Why they died. There's three places where it mentions a sin of Talmid Rabbi Akiva, the 24,000 students that died, that we mourn for between Pesach and Shavuos during Sfiras HaOmer. So what was their sin? So everybody knows that Lo Noagu Kovod Zebezeh. They didn't treat each other with respect. But what does that mean? But they were disrespectful to each other. They were big Talmid Chacham and the Rabbi Akiva's students. Two other places it says a different thing. In one place it says, "Shehayu einayim tzara b'torasam." They were selfish with their Torah. And in another place it says they didn't go and spread their Torah to the whole of Eretz Yisrael. And I think they're all the same thing. Kavod, there's no greater kavod than sharing Torah. Torah is the greatest kavod. Lo noagu kavod zebezeh means they didn't share their Torah one with the other. And that's what it means, that they were selfish with their Torah. And therefore they didn't fill Eretz Yisrael with Torah. So their sin was that they were supposed to be the people who would be the link to Torah Shebaal Peh for the next generation. When they died, Rabbi Akiva had 5 students. And each of them was the conduit to a different part of Torah for the future. All of Torah Shebaal Peh came through the conduit of Rabbi Akiva, through his 5 students, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, and so on. So, in order to be a conduit, you have to be concerned that you share your Torah with others. Because if they couldn't do that, then their whole purpose of existence didn't exist, so they were taken out of this world. They were supposed to be, Rabbi Akiva was supposed to be the conduit of Torah Shebaal Peh. Through him would come Torah Shebaal Peh for all future generations. And those students were supposed to be that pipeline. And if they didn't share their Torah one with the other, and they didn't fill Eretz Yisrael with Torah, then their purpose in life, they weren't fulfilling. So if you're not fulfilling your purpose in life, you have no business being here. That's another way of understanding that. Okay, so that is one way of understanding this Mishnah, that kol shemaisav merube michachmaso, a person whose ma'asim, that he does to others, he teaches others, and he inspires others, is even more than his own learning. That doesn't mean that he spends more time on that than learning, but it's more important to him, or that's the purpose of his learning, right? And that is, even when he's learning, he's doing it in a way that he's thinking about how it could make an impression on other people, and I'm learning also because I should know what to tell people so I'll be able to impress other people, because if I don't know anything, what can I give over to other people? Right? The Vilna Gaon says that the best way of in influencing other people and inspiring them is compared to a cup of wine. If you have a cup and you want to pour it into other cups, eventually you're going to empty the first cup. But if you keep pouring wine into the first cup and it overflows, then the first cup remains full and it overflows. So the best way to influence people is by learning more and more and more and overflowing. Instead of taking what you have and giving it out and eventually have nothing. So that is the, it's possible, therefore, for what you influence, you mean more than you learn. Because you're overflowing and overflowing, right? You're mashim, or even more than what you learn for yourself and what you know, because you're overflowing with that knowledge for other people also.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.